Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station. We're millions strong, with folks tuning in from over 200 countries. We are education. We are entertainment. We are the future of food. May is our membership drive. Become a member and support us while receiving e-newsletters, advanced invites, special discounts, and a membership card. We need your support. Visit our website and click the donate button to become a member today. Thank you for believing in us, and enjoy the show.
Thanks for tuning in. This is Sari from Heritage Radio Network. You're listening to a live broadcast on HRN Community Sessions. Before we get in, I just want to remind you listening that May is our membership month. We are a member-supported network, and any donations are much appreciated. Just visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and click to donate. So I have a very, very special guest on the phone with me today. You know him from several Food Network shows, including Iron Chef America, The Best Thing I Ever Ate, Food Feuds, and The Chew on ABC. He's Cleveland's hottest chef and one of America's hottest chefs. He's a James Beard winner, and I'm very happy to welcome Iron Chef Michael Simon. Hi, Chef.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm happy to be on with you.
I'm very happy you are as well. So I really want to talk to you today about Cleveland. And as I mentioned to you before, I grew up in Cleveland, and I was there this past weekend, and I'm really focused right now on finding out what's going on in the restaurant scene there. So, you know, I was there. I met a lot of people. I went to a lot of different restaurants, including several of yours. And everywhere I went, everyone who spoke to me said, we just wouldn't have this restaurant, or we just wouldn't have this vitality and resurgence that we do without the support of Chef Michael Simon. And it's just, it means so much to me that after this little trip I took and all these people I talked to and all these new restaurants and burgeoning chefs, that I'm able to sort of like wrap up this experience with you on the line. Because I feel like in so many ways, this is the culmination of everything that I saw and everything that I tasted and experienced while I was in Cleveland. And I really want to hear from your perspective, like what your story has been and what it was like when you started, you know, with Lola opening in 1997 and just the drastic resurgence that's occurred in that time.
It's been amazing for us. I mean, we've been very fortunate. Liz and my wife Liz and I and our partner Beth Kicker, you know, we've been doing it for a while now, and out of the gate we're fortunate enough. When you open your own business, you never know what's going to happen. But I had worked for some good restaurants in the city prior to that, Giovanni's, Piccolo Mondo, Players, and built a little bit of a following from that. I moved back to Cleveland from New York in 1990. And in 1990, there were probably four restaurants to eat at in Cleveland if you wanted a slightly upscale meal prepared with some care. You know, there was Giovanni's, there was Eric Chellian, Zach Buell had Seas Contemporary Cuisine, but that closed shortly after that. And Parker Bosley was doing an amazing job, and then Mark at Players. But there wasn't like a breath of restaurants. There were just these guys working very, very hard and laying a great foundation. And, and then when we opened Lola, for whatever reason, you know, we opened Lola in Tremont. At the time, there wasn't a lot going on in Tremont. And it got a tremendous amount of support from locals, but it got on the national radar, you know. And Food and Wine named me one of the top 10 most chefs in America in 98.
So that was 1 year after you opened Lola's.
1 year after we opened, and that changed everything. That was the award that kind of, I think, changed not only my life, but changed how people viewed food in Cleveland. Before that award, no one a chef from Ohio had never even won the award. So when I went to New York to receive the award, chefs from around the country that I was starting to meet them, they kept saying, "You're from Cleveland? I don't understand. How did you get here?" But, sometimes, you have to be good at what you do. I think whatever you do, you have to be good at what you do and passionate about what you do. But there's some luck involved, too. And I was fortunate enough to be the one that they chose.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, what was it about your cuisine? Because I remember Giovanni's. I remember Players. Those are good restaurants. But what was
they were very good restaurants.
Yeah.
I think what we did, which nobody had really done then in Cleveland, is, I remember this conversation it was yesterday, even though it was close to 20 years ago. About a year before we opened Lola, it took us over a year to build Lola, because Liz and I did it essentially, we painted, we did the floors, we laid the tile, so it took us a long time to open it. And I worked mostly in Italian-based restaurants prior to that, and I was, I'm Sicilian. So Liz said, "Well, what's the style of food that you're going to do? What do you want to do?" And I said, "I'm going to do Midwestern cuisine." And she looked at me like I had 14 heads, and she said, "What does that mean?" I said, "Well, I'm going to do food that Clevelanders could connect to, but I'm going to do them with the ingredients that New Yorkers would expect."
Right.
So, we did pierogies, but we stuffed them with braised beef cheeks. We, we braised fresh pork bellies, but we called them, instead of calling it pork belly, we called it fresh bacon. We wanted to serve foie gras, so I figured out how to make foie gras into a bratwurst. And we did things that really connected not only with Clevelanders, but it connected nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just a different thought process, I think. And I think that, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know why it happened for us and it doesn't, but I just knew it was a good thing. And I knew I wasn't going to take it for granted, So
yeah,
we've had tremendous people that have worked for us since then that have went and opened their own restaurants. We try to support them in the city as much as we can. And I think the biggest thing that everybody should always realize is whether you're successful or not successful, you're not never successful. You never reach your full success, and it's never just because of you. And if you fail, you never fail because it's only you. It's a group of people and a group of things that make things happen. And people before we opened, Paul Manillo and Parker and Carl Quagliata and Mark Sherry and all those people that worked very hard for a long time in Cleveland to do delicious food and help put Cleveland on the map. They really laid a foundation that then I was able to capitalize. And I hope that the next generation of chefs that are coming up, the kind of youngsters like John Sawyer and those guys, I hope they continue to capitalize on the foundation that I helped. That I hope that we help to lay, people like myself and Karen Small and Doug Katz and, the kind of my generation of chefs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy to say that I got to eat at Greenhouse Tavern and I got to eat at Noodle Cat, and I can assure you that Jonathan Sawyer is definitely just doing very, very well with what he's created on his menus.
He does a great job. He's like my son.
And I think he feels that, I think he feels that sort of fatherly connection with you too, because of the way that he spoke about you as a mentor and an influence. And it was just really cool to be able to eat there and just think about the trajectory that the ingredients themselves have had, because what you were able to do is take really familiar ingredients and just elevate them without having to rewrite the book. You didn't have to introduce a new vocabulary to readers. But eventually, I think, beginning with people sort of exploring new tastes and expanding their mind a little bit when they ate your food, little by little, we're now where we are with Jonathan's menu, where it doesn't have to be okay, this is, this is a pierogi in disguise. It's very much an homage to the local ingredients.
You don't have to be less guarded, is guarded. When we first put the pierogies on the menu, we called them pot roast pierogies because we put them on as beef cheeks. We didn't sell two.
Wow.
We put them on as pot roast. We sold 500.
Yeah.
So It was just about finding a way to get people to try maybe something that's a little bit different, or get them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about Cleveland is, even though we were getting that generation of diner out of their comfort zone, all we were really doing is feeding them the same food that the generation before them is very comfortable eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like when you go to the West Side Market and you see head cheese and you see cheeks and you see marrow and you see pigtails and pig's heads and all those kind of delicious things that are now back in vogue, you know, those are the things that I grew up eating with my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to teach my generation of people that, you know, this is still delicious, and this is a very responsible way, not only a delicious way to eat, but a responsible way to eat. So sometimes you got to go backwards before you go forward.
That's right. Yeah, and the interesting thing about Cleveland that's happening is there is this new generation of young chefs doing really interesting, creative food, but then there's also the mainstays that have been there the whole time. Like, I went to University Inn, and I talked to Mike Sokolowski, and I mean, I kid you not, he teared up when he was talking about what you've done for Cleveland and how much support, you know, you've given him and his family, and places like the West Side Market, where there's, you know, generations and generations that have been, you know, working at the same meat stands. So I just want to talk about why Cleveland is so important to you, and, like, you know, why you didn't do what so many other chefs did, is like get a lot of buzz and then, you know, leave and then just go and, like, plant your seeds somewhere else and do, you know, really interesting, like, innovative new cuisine. Like, why were you so committed to making Cleveland, putting it on the map as a restaurant city and, you know, getting a demographic that was following you and eating, you know, food that was just more upscale, more elevated than they'd tasted before?
It's my home. And I think we're, you know, most people, whatever their home is, it's hard for them to ever, at least for me, I never, you know, even when I'm away from Cleveland, I still long for Cleveland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's a given with most Clevelanders. I think that there's something, you know, it's one of those cities where a lot of people that live there are from there. People that move there decide they want to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not a city like New York where, you know, the percentage of people that live here aren't necessarily from here. I would say that the higher percentage of people in Cleveland are from Cleveland.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that local city pride for me, and I think also for our customers. You know, like, you know, the customers don't like the negative jokes about the city any more than I do. So if you could do something that you know, benefits your city and shows pride in your city, that resonates with them also.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I always wanted to do it in my hometown. You know, like when I first moved back in 1990, and it was so hard to find certain products, fresh fish, and I mean, there were a lot of, knowing how to cook was a small piece of the puzzle. Finding out how to get the items that you wanted to your restaurants was a much bigger piece of the puzzle. And even though that Parker Bosley and Paul and Carl and all those people had laid some groundwork there, a tremendous amount of groundwork, it was still hard to get a lot of those items in volume. You know, where now you can get pretty much anything that you want there, which has been very beneficial to us as restaurateurs and the other chefs, and the farmers, the green markets and farmers markets have exploded, and, you know, it's just a really good time to be cooking in the city.
Mm-hmm. So what do you feel the tone of the city is like now? I mean, I, you know, like I said, I was just overwhelmed to see how much had changed and how much had grown since I grew up there, you know, in the 90s. How would you describe it to someone who's never been there and is thinking about, you know, visiting or wanted to try some of the restaurants?
Well, I would say that if you took the top 10 restaurants in Cleveland, you could put them anywhere in the country, and they would be fantastic. You know, we don't maybe have the depth of a New York City, but we have, for a mid-major city, you know, I've been fortunate enough to travel a lot, especially in the United States, and I don't think that there's a mid-major city, like, take out New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles, I don't think that there's a city of Cleveland's size that has remotely close to its food scene. Even ones that sometimes get more press than we do. I've eaten in those cities and their food, while maybe very good, I don't think any of those cities has anything like Cleveland when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I really appreciated the diversity of the restaurants in terms of like upscale to dive bar. I mean, the quality of the food was consistent everywhere I went. You know, for example, I visited Happy Dog, which is a really, really fun. Yeah, it's a really, really fun, for those listening, hot dog restaurant. And there's about 30 different, maybe even more, condiments that you choose kind of sushi style on a piece of paper and can put on your hot dogs. And the first thing I saw when I sat down there at the top of the Happy Dog list was Chef Michael Simon's favorite Happy Dog. And it was a hot dog with peanut butter and sriracha. Which, so I guess now, you know, everyone comes in and orders a hot dog with peanut butter and sriracha, which is, you know, which is kind of like hilarious and funny. But I mean, those are good hot dogs. Like, you're in a dive bar, but you're still eating this like really, really good food, and all the condiments are made in house, and, you know, everything is local source. You know, there's nothing that's sacrificed. Like, the integrity exists, you know, regardless of sort of like the atmosphere you're in.
And the thing I love about a place like Happy Dog is that it never forgets it's in Cleveland, you know?
Yeah.
They have this really awesome hot dog. You get all these funky things on it. It's kind of like the hipster joint, but yet, once a week, they have pork and light.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on.
That's right.
Cleveland in a nutshell.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, and even at Greenhouse Tavern, you know, like underneath all the ingredients, it's like there are some dishes that you're like, oh, this is pierogies. You know, or something like that. I mean, there's just, you very much know where you are the whole time you're there. And I really, really like that about Cleveland. Like, there's just so much commitment to kind of like staying true to the roots, you know, regardless of wherever you happen to be dining in the downtown area. Yeah. So when you go there, I mean, I know you've mentioned some of the restaurants that you visit, but can you just be a little more specific about, like, when you're home, when you're in Cleveland, like, what you like to do and, you know, what you do with your family? And also, like, how much time do you spend in Cleveland, and how do you sort of balance your career with, you know, the life that you have in New York and on the camera?
Yeah, well, you know, the nice thing about the Chews is we film it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So that gives me essentially 4 days to either, you know, on a perfect week, get home or do... do other things that I might have to get that on my calendar, but I try to get home minimum 3 days a week. And you know, I'm a little bit of a creature habit. I will admit that. Like, the places that I've loved for a long time. I still love Sokolowski's. I always love Sokolowski's.
Nice.
Or, you know, University Inn.
Yeah. Great.
And Shaker, so I go to Fire quite a bit. Hmm. I think Red does a great job with steaks. You know, Rockaway Inn does a great job. Tremont, I love Johnny's place. I love Charles Small. I love a lot of those places. And I cook at home quite a bit, too, you know. Because, I don't know, but so much of my life is kind of being on, for lack of other terms, I guess, that on a day off, typically Liz and I won't go out for dinner. We'll have friends over. I'll cook up a meal. I'll go... Shaker Square on a Saturday, and I'll load up on what I need, and then, you know, maybe Sunday or Monday we have people over and we cook.
Yeah. Everyone I talked to just, you know, really spoke to how genuine you are and how much of like a family guy you are, and, you know, the charismatic personality we see on TV. It's like, you really are that guy. Like, you really are that really, really friendly, nice guy. And do you find it's hard to just, you know, stay true to your family and yourself while meantime you're sort of balancing this like celebrity persona and like marketing yourself?
It's just part of it, you know. I have an awesome family. I'm so blessed. I mean, I have a great mom and dad. I have a stepson, Kyle, who, you know, Liz and I have been together for over 20 years. He's 26. He's fantastic. Liz's family is amazing. You know, I have a great support kind of group around me that is, one will always keep me in line, like, listen, Big Shot, you know, which I think is important. But two, they're just great people, you know. I'm very lucky, you know. And you know, a lot of times people go, "Oh my God, you're just as nice in person." Like, I mean, how hard is it? It's not that hard to be nice to people. It's much harder to be an ass. And I think that really kind of describes Cleveland in a nutshell. I mean, I think the first thing that people that aren't Clevelanders, the first time they're in Cleveland, the thing that takes them back the most is they're just like, oh my God, everybody's so friendly here.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, that's the beauty of the city more than anything
Yeah, really friendly and really supportive, you know, even within the restaurant scene. It was just so great to see how everybody was sourcing from everybody else. And, you know, someone had someone else's bread on their menu and someone had someone else's ice cream. And it was just a really, really strong, vital community that exists there.
Yeah, it's the Cleveland restaurant family is a very tight-knit family, fortunately. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like anything else. There's always a couple people that, you know what? They're maybe not as nice as everybody else, but you'll have that. But as a general statement, most of the chefs and restaurateurs in Cleveland get along very, very well, and which helps our cause. You know, mm-hmm. if everybody was fighting each other, you'd get nothing done. But that everybody kind of, that most of us have each other's backs and try to cross-promote each other and think of the restaurant city as in Cleveland as a whole, as opposed to what about me?
Mm-hmm.
It helps us grow as a dining destination, mm-hmm. As opposed to just a singular restaurant.
Yeah, but with you, it's a little bit different from other chefs because, in some ways, you are that person that people think of as being able to kind of save the restaurant scene in downtown Cleveland, and so many people credit you for that. What does that mean to you? And is that, do you think that that's a fair assessment, a fair accolade to have?
Well, I mean, it's very flattering. I mean, I find it very, very flattering. And I mean, the way that I look at it is, you know, I was lucky enough to get a couple shows on national television, you know, for whatever reason. And if I could help promote my city and fellow chefs by doing that, then that's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really never have thought about it like this is, you know, this is my job, this is what I need to do, this is what, but it just feels right, and it feels like what I should do, you know. I'm every bit as proud of Johnny's success and Rocco's success and, you know, Doug Katz's success and all those fantastic chefs. I'm as happy about their success as I am my own. And fortunately for me, I had the opportunity to help talk about and promote those people. So why wouldn't I?
Right. Yeah. Well, you've given so much to Cleveland. It's so apparent. And, you know, with your success, you've done so much to just constantly be, promoting, and every time you're on TV, you know, people like you and they want to know where you came from. And I just want to know, what has Cleveland given back to you?
Well, I think Cleveland made me, like, whatever it is that those people like about me, Cleveland had a very big part of making me that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's what it gave me more than anything else. It gave me, it keeps me grounded. It gave me a tremendous foundation. It's where my home will always be. And the people that live in Cleveland have always been so incredibly supportive of me that I could never, ever thank them enough.
Yeah. Well, that's just really, really wonderful to hear, Chef. And I just want to thank you so much and just let you know, like, I really did feel your presence everywhere I went in Cleveland. And it may just feel, you know, kind of flattering to you. But, you know, as someone who grew up there, like, whose dad would go to Lola's to drink martinis and leave me at home, like, wishing I could hang out, you know, with the big kids.
Well, see, now you're a big,
yeah, it was such a wonderful experience to go back and have a martini at Lola's and, you know, really, really get to experience that and just see Cleveland as an adult through adult eyes and just feel just, you know, so optimistic and so hopeful and so happy that, like, my city had finally found itself. And, you know, I personally feel like I want to thank you for that, because it was a little disappointing when I left and I wasn't really sure what it was going to feel like coming back. And, you know, I was a little scared I'd be getting a lot of, like, wasabi mashed potatoes and ahi tuna, but I definitely saw no wasabi mashed potatoes or ahi tuna. And, you know, I think you deserve a lot of credit for that taking place. I totally agree. I had world-class food there that was on par with, you know, Brooklyn where I live, New York, the city I live. It was just a very, very heartwarming, meaningful trip for me. And I definitely want to thank you for taking the time today and talking to us at Heritage Radio. And, you know, you're one of our nation's best chefs, and this has just been truly an honor.
Oh, God, thank you so much. I'm happy that I'm happy that you're happy to go home now every once in a while. And, you know, maybe eventually the one thing Cleveland will give me is a Browns championship. Then I'll be a happy man.
Well, that, I certainly can't make any promises there. But I can promise you I will be back at your restaurants every time. So thank you, Chef. Just, yeah, have a great day. And, you know, look forward to watching you on TV, on the Chew, and just, you know, hopefully staying in touch. And Cleveland Pride.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, Michael. And thanks for listening at home. You're listening to heritageradionetwork.org. You can listen to all of our interviews and programs as podcasts on our website or also on iTunes. And again, we are a membership-supported radio station. So please, if you can, if you enjoy what you hear, check out our website, donate what you can if you want to keep listening. You know, we certainly support you as our listeners and appreciate it. So this is Sari Kamen signing off, HRN Community Sessions.